Take your Bibles, turn to Psalm 119, and we're going to read verses 113 through verse 120. Psalm 119, verses 113 through 120. I am excited about tonight's truth. I think if you'll give me your mind for a few minutes. Some of you, you're not giving me much, and I'll have to loan you a little, but if you'll give me your minds for a little bit, I think I can help you. We're going to read here in a moment. Let me stop for just a moment. I don't say this often, but I will. I've counseled enough folks in recent weeks. Folks, back in the 70s, there was a teaching going on, and maybe a little bit before then. I don't remember it before then, but, you know, the Bible is a holy book. Yes, it is, but the Bible is meant to be used. It's not a sin to write in your Bible, not a sin to underline in your Bible. To me, the Bible is a workbook, and I put notes in mine. You say, well, I heard that if you wrote in the Bible, no. You're not changing the Bible, but if you want to underline something or circle something or write notes in it, you won't find a Bible I own that doesn't have writing in it. My New Testaments, my entire Bibles, I have shelves full of them. They've been worked over, used and abused. That's my toolbox right there, amen? And so it's if you want to mark in your Bibles as you go along, it's a good thing for you to do. All right, Psalm 119, we're going to read verses 113 through 120. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statute continually. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross, therefore I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. Now, this is going to be a sweet, wonderful truth for you. Our society wastes much of its thinking time. Our society wastes much of its time thinking about things of no value, things that are not even real, and things that have no usefulness at all. We have people that think themselves into sickness, depression, panic, and anger, and we let Hollywood, by the way, nothing that comes out of Hollywood is real. That's what you have to understand. There is not one thing about Hollywood that is real. How many of you have ever been to Hollywood, California before? Raise your hand, okay? Just a couple of you. Hollywood is the biggest waste, biggest disappointment that you've ever seen in your life. How many of you have heard of the Hollywood Walk of Stars before? You know, everybody's got their footprints and their star. Do you know what that is? It's a dirty old nasty sidewalk like downtown Martinsburg, filled full of cigarette butts, vomit, and everything else. I'm not kidding. It is the most disappointing thing you ever saw in your life. You go to the movie sets. Is all they are is fake facade buildings. Every last one of them. Everything you see that comes from Hollywood is make-believe. Every bit of it. And yet people think it's reality. They think about nothing but the fakeness that comes out of that, and it keeps us from having a real society. Our society and even Christians get too concerned in their minds about things that are vain. Let me ask you a question. How much of the Bible have you thought about today? Now, we've read the news, but how much have you thought about the Bible? By the way, most of the news isn't even real anymore. They're only showing you what they want you to hear with their political slant to it. So how much of the Bible have you really thought about? Hold on to your hat. How much of the Bible have you, or God's music have you sung this week versus the world's music? I had to laugh. I won't tell on who it was, but they're new in our church, and they said, "Preacher, I've got a bone to pick with you. I've been singing two church songs, and I don't even know what the words are. I can't get them out of my head." I love that. I get excited about that. I said, "That's okay. I sing them too, and I slaughter the words even when I know what they are." Don't go there any farther, all right? Don't ask my wife about that. But do you think about people in the Bible and things in the Bible more than you do your favorite television show? Some of you, if I asked you what was on your favorite show, what the previews for next week were, and the what happened last week, you'd be able to just spit it off like that. But how much do you know about the Bible? We think about vain things. It seems like the farther our society gets away from that book, the less reality we think about. I'm going to make a statement here. Don't get mad at me, but it's coming. That's why I don't like social networking. It's not real. Facebook is not real interaction. A cyber relationship is not real. Let me show you what I mean. Go off Facebook once and find out how many people actually contact you. Everybody doing all right? "Well, I don't even know how to get on it, let alone get off it." Good. You're better off because nobody else is going to worry about it either, all right? Now, the worldly education has caused us to believe that thinking about and believing God is wrong and humanism is right. They asked, this last weekend, they asked the head of the Democratic National Convention, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, they said, "Can you define the difference between the Democrat Party and socialism?" And she could not answer the question. They asked her the second time, and she still could not answer the question. That is the head, by the way, the Republican National Convention isn't a whole lot better. Now, wait a minute. Hang on there for a second. It's wrong to shoot a lion that somebody paid $55,000 for a hunt, but Planned Parenthood can sit at the table and sell body parts of aborted babies, and it's okay. Everybody doing all right? The United States government is putting a gag order on all of those types of videos right now. They're making it illegal to expose the wrong going on so as to not lose the funding for that. They are literally aborting babies and telling doctors not to mutilate the bodies so badly so that they can sell the parts. Everybody doing okay? But to go out and I'm going to make a statement here, legally shoot an animal. By the way, I'm not really for going out and shooting lions and elephants and things like that. I'm not saying it's wrong. It's just not something that I personally would do. But somebody paid, by the way, $55,000 in Zimbabwe would feed an awful lot of families, wouldn't it? $200 million a year they bring in from hunters and conservationists like that to their economy. And the average wage is about $600 a year for the national people there. But it's okay to sell body parts of aborted babies. By the way, that are developed to the point where they know what gender the baby is. That's okay. When we look at all the negative, non-real, and often evil that we think about, no wonder our world is so messed up. We need to start thinking more about truth, thinking about God's words, thinking about helping and loving others. No wonder the world is so evil. Look what they think about. They think about murder, crime, violence, witchcraft, rebellion, illicit relationships, immorality, superheroes, science fiction, zombies, ghosts, and spirits. Now, not a one of those things is real, but look at the number of violent television, crime shows, the violence that they show on the news, etc., etc. Look at the depth of knowledge they give you about violent and sexual crimes just in the news. When I watch the news, I usually have the mute button sitting right beside me because there's about a third of it I don't even want to listen to. As soon as I hear the topic, it's off. Don't need to hear that. Everybody doing okay? Say why? Not going to do me any good. Not going to do anybody else any good. Whether anybody else is home, I don't listen to it. Say why? I don't need that stuff pumped into my brain. It's evil. It's nasty. It's wicked. It's filthy. It's vile. Why do I want to think about it? Now, the Bible, can I tell you something? That book will never be vain. That book is never going to be vain thinking. The word vain or vanity means of no value. Can I tell you something? Loving my family and loving my friends is not vain. I stopped by the florist today and I picked up some flowers for my daughter and took them home. But while I was there, I thought, man, if I take flowers home for my daughter and don't take home some for my wife, this is not going to be good. So I got flowers for both of them. And I spent a few dollars and bought them both flowers. You say, why? Because I was thinking about them. I was thinking about them. I was loving on them. I don't have that in my notes. I didn't do it for a sermon illustration. I did it because I care about them. And I wanted them to know I was thinking about them. Now, listen to this very carefully. Loving God is never vain. Did you know that if you love God, it's not vanity? Did you know that thinking about the Word of God is never vain? See, the Bible is the key to our thinking that will keep us from a vain thought life. Let me say that again. The Bible is the key to our thinking to keep us from a vain thought life. I'm not saying that this is the prosperity gospel. Oh, just trust Jesus and say hocus pocus with the Bible verses and everything's going to turn out okay. It's not what I'm talking about. But I am saying that we do need to live our lives away from depression, away from panic, away from fear, and away from vain thinking. Did you know if you think about getting sick long enough, you won't feel well? I'm serious. Did you know that if you tell yourself enough you're tired, you'll get tired? Now, some of you don't even have to tell yourself. You're just tired, and I understand that. But I want to show you how the Bible can affect your thinking the right way and get rid of vain thinking in your life. We're going to use our Bibles, so hang in there, all right? Now, here we go. Number one, the Bible is your security for thinking. The Bible is your security for thinking. Now, I want you to look at verse number 114. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. Wow. Those are secure places. Look at verse number 116. Uphold me according to thy word that I may live. See that word? Uphold me. That means I'm down. Hold me up. Uphold me according unto thy word that I may live. And let me not be ashamed of my hope. Look at verse number 117. Hold thou me up and I shall be safe. And I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Did you know there is safety in that book right there? Young people, make your decisions based on that book right there. Mamas and daddies, make your decisions based on that book right there. Husbands and wives, make your decisions based on that book. Make financial decisions based on that book. That is your security. That is your hiding place. I'm going to tell on myself. When I was a kid, I still don't like sirens. Not because I've been pulled over so much. I just never did like the siren. Now, where I grew up in Perry Township, we had a volunteer fire department. And the Redurban Fire Department was about, I'm guessing, what, a mile and a half, 2 miles up the road? About a mile and a half up 13th Street to Perry Avenue. You turn left and there's about a quarter or half a block down the road. they had one of those great big poles out there with a big horn on that thing, and when it was time for the fire guys to come, that thing would go off. It didn't matter what was going on. We could be in the middle of a baseball game. I could be in the middle of a pitch. That stupid thing would go off, and all of a sudden I was gone. I'd run inside, run through the garage, run through the back door, up two or three steps into the kitchen, through the kitchen, into the living room, turn right, go through the little pathway there, turn right again, went into the back room where my dad, we had a little den type thing there, and I'd got in the closet where my dad kept his clothes, shut the door till that siren went off. Say why? That was my hiding place. If I was there, that thing wasn't going to get me, amen? I still don't like it when I pull over and a fire truck passes me or an ambulance. It just sends shivers up and down my spine. Now, I don't pull off the side of the road and go hide in the woods, but I have graduated to where I don't do that. But there was something about that closet, the darkness of the closet where that thing wasn't going to get me, amen? I quit doing that by the time I was 15. seems like it. I don't remember how old I was. I just remember doing it. Now, the Bible is a shield to block all of the negative that the world and the devil throws at you. Do you know a shield is there to block incoming things, to keep it from hitting you? You wear it and you pull it up to block and to defend yourself from an attack. That is exactly what the Word of God is. The Bible says that it'll quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Huh. It is your shield of faith that will help you quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Can I tell you something? When negative comes, pull the Word of God out and praise God for the positives you do have in your life. Somebody new in our church recently, they texted me one day and they said, "Preacher, I'm just having a rough day. What should I do?" I said, "Are you where you can spare 5 minutes?" They said, "Sure." I said, "I want you to quit whatever you're doing, make a list on a piece of paper or scratch it in the dirt, and list a few things to praise God for and start praising God." I said, "Praise God that you're saved, your sins are washed away, your name's written in heaven, you never have to die and go to hell, that your family's saved, that you're in church." And I started listing a bunch. He said, "Whoa, whoa, 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 okay, preacher." About 2 hours later, my phone buzzed again. He said, "I am having one of the greatest days of my life. I spent the last 2 hours while I'm working. After 5 minutes was up, I just started working and kept doing the praising." He said, "I'm having a great day. Thanks, preacher." Say, what was that? We used the Word of God to chase away the negative that came into his life. Isn't that what it's all about? That was his shield. What normally you would go into depression over, he used it as a shield, blocked it, and then he went on the attack. Amen. Use your Bible against negative words and negative people. Did you know you'll shut people up if you just use the Bible? You want to talk about people. I was at the hospital not too awful long ago. I'm not sure. I've been there so many times. But I opened the door opened up to the thing and people were coming out. I went in. I was last one in. I said, "Okay, what floors everybody need?" I'm pushing buttons for everybody. And this one person was in there and they were grumbling and they were blankety blank this and blankety blank that. And I said, "I can't take this." I said, "Excuse me, sir." I said, "I'm a Baptist preacher. Please don't take God's name in vain like that." You could have heard a pin drop on that stupid elevator, let me tell you. Nobody said another word. I mean, not another word. They were afraid to say anything. I wasn't unkind. I just asked him to quit talking about my God that way. They all got off, and I got off. A little bit later, I went down, and I got to the bottom, and doors opened up, and an elderly lady was there, and a little bit stoop-shouldered, and she wasn't moving real fast. Everybody else plowed through her just about. I stopped. I stayed inside. I held the door. I said, "Ma'am, I'm getting off, but let me hold the door for you." She said, "Well, thank you, young man." I said, "Will you say that again?" She said, "What?" I said, "The young part." I said, "I'm not feeling real young." She said, "Compared to me, you are really young." I said, "Oh, I like you." And we talked for just a second. I handed her a tract. I said, "What floor are you going to?" She told me. I pushed the button. I said, "You have a great day." She said, "Are you a preacher?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I am." She said, "I could tell." I said, well, thank you very much. Wait a minute. I chased away the negative. I'll be honest with you. I was hoping not to run into old grumbly face again. Because if I did, I probably would have told him where not to go someday. Amen. But you can chase away the negative by using the Word of God. You know, you never have to be ashamed of living the Bible. Do you know I've never witnessed to somebody and felt bad because I did it? You know, I've never tried to keep somebody out of hell and felt bad for it. You know, I've never preached a sermon and felt bad that I preached the sermon. Now, I didn't always feel good about how well it didn't come out. But I've never felt bad about the truth that was presented. You know, life in the Bible exposes the death of worldly ways. That's why the world doesn't like the Word of God. I'm going to say one more thing, and then I'm going to show you something else here. The Bible is what gives us hope. Did you know the world has no hope? The Bible is what gives you hope. That's why the world's so nasty. They have no hope. Folks, to the lost person, this is as good as it gets. To the Christian, this is as bad as it ever gets. Good night. This is, if this is the worst it's ever going to be, hang on, baby, it's going to get real good. We have hope. Now, there's something I call the Philippians 4:8 test for thinking. Turn your Bible to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and I want to show you something here. I preached a sermon on this good night two and a half years ago. I know nobody in here remembers it, so that's okay. But I used this passage, but I want to show you, let me give you an outline of what to think about. And I'm going to use God's outline, amen? Look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. There are six things we are to think about. Things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of good report. Can I tell you something? The Bible is true. The Bible is honest. The Bible is just. The Bible is pure. The Bible is lovely. And the Bible is of good report. Guess what? We're supposed to think about it. Now hang in there. How many of your television shows cover all these qualities? How about the books you read? I'm not a sci-fi person. I'm not saying it's a sin necessarily to read science fiction. I just don't like being lied to. It's not true. It's not. Star Wars, Space 1999, boy, is that dating myself, amen. Good night. Star Trek, I don't know. I never was a sci-fi person. I don't get into that. Can I tell you why? It's nothing but lies. There's not a bit of it true. Well, do you think we're alone in the universe? Do you think there's life on other planets? There is a heaven. And there is a hell, and there is an earth. Besides that, there is no life. Say, how do you know that? The Bible. Yes, sir. Let God be true and every man a liar. Yes, sir. And these are the things we're supposed to think about. Guess what? That means gossip shouldn't be thought about. Because gossip, though it may be true, watch this, it's not honest or just or lovely or pure of good report. Everybody doing okay? That's why you don't listen to negative about somebody else. You see, in my preaching and in my teaching, I may show you the negative that's out there to avoid, but watch this. It'll also help you learn how to praise God that you don't have it in your life if you're not living it. Sometimes the preacher's got to get up and skin you a little bit and show you and warn you what's out there, but at the same time, you can say, well, praise God, I didn't know that was out there. I'm staying away from that. I don't have to worry about that one, or I'll get that one cleaned up, and praise the Lord, I don't have to worry about it anymore. Boy, that's good stuff, and I've got to hurry. Number two. So, number one, The Bible is your security in thinking, and I gave you the Philippians 4:8 test. Number two, never listen to evil or ungodly influences. Never listen to evil or ungodly influences. I'm going to make a statement here. There are Christians who are evil. Evil doesn't mean necessarily satanic in the realm of demonology and witchcraft. There are Christians that can act evil. Evil is an alliance of two or more people going together to destroy someone else. It is a purposed alliance of people to destroy someone. When, Brother Stoltz, come on over here. When two Christians get together, they decide they're going to destroy Ed Hawkins. When Brother Stoltz and I agree to try to destroy Ed Hawkins' reputation, guess what? That has become evil. You can be saved and be evil, just so you know. And evil is worse than sin. Sin is a transgression of the law. I messed up. I did something wrong. Okay. But evil, you planned it. It's premeditated to destroy that person. A premeditated destruction of somebody else is far worse than just making a mistake. Everybody see what I'm saying? So evil is worse than sin. Not all sin is evil, but all evil is beyond sin. All right, have a seat there, and I want to help you here. So never listen to evil or ungodly influences. Look at verse 115, Psalm 119, 115. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Look at verse number 118. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Verse 119. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love thy testimonies. Christians can be evil. Evil, by the way, we are to separate away from evil people.
That's good.
I don't spend time around people that plan evil against somebody else. I don't do it. I don't listen to preachers that do it. I don't listen to church members that do it. I don't listen to friends of mine that might do it. I separate from them. I usually say, don't go there. You're about to get into something evil. And if they keep going, I just either hang up or walk away. You say, well, that might be rude. It's more rude to let them barf in your ear than it is to walk away from it. But I shouldn't have said it that way. For them to be evil in your presence, all right? Sometimes my illustrations aren't the best, all right? Evil can't be right because it's contrary to Scripture. Did you know that good and evil cannot abide together? Separate from evil people. You say, why? They will pull you down. They will pull you down. I've been in the ministry full-time 26 years. I've been preaching for 35 years. Brother Ed, you know this is true. You've been around me a lot of those years. You know some of the people I'm even going to allude to. But there are people that became evil preachers. I could give their name, and some of you would know those names right now. But in my presence, they started tearing down somebody else. And I said, don't go there. They said, oh, come on. You just don't know as much as I said. I don't need to know what you know, and I don't want to know what you know, and I'm getting out of here. I have never allowed them to influence me since. Only two cases that I did. And both of those cases came to me and said, the way you handled yourself, I was wrong, and what I said was wrong, and I'm getting myself right. I've gone to the person I was talking evil about, got it right with them, and I need to get right with you. At that moment, I said, I love you, my brother. I'll help you. But even at that I still gave it time before I trusted them. Say why? I'm not about to let them pull me down. Everybody doing okay? All right, hang in there. They will tell you that they know what the truth is. It's amazing how they can spiritualize evil. Let God deal with evil people. You're not as powerful as God. Did you know, I think there are good people that get led by evil people and they end up being evil and don't even know they're evil?
Yes, sir.
I really believe that. They get led by somebody they think is spiritual, who's telling them the truth, who's actually being evil, and they've led groups of people in an act of evil to destroy somebody, and that is wrong. By the way, that's why in this church, if somebody does something wrong, we're not going to pull them up on the platform and make them tell everybody what wrong they did. That's evil. Not going to help anybody. Boy, that's good stuff. Did you know God's strong enough to deal with them? It's our job to separate from them. God said in the book of Romans that if we separate from them, hopefully their loneliness will bring them to where they'll change their mind and come back to do what they're supposed to do. That's the whole purpose of it. By the way, Romans 12, verses 16 through 19, God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And if you look at all three of the, or four of those verses, you'll find out it's in reference to evil. Let God take care of evil people. Do you know? Well, I better hurry up. I'm going to move on. I could wander all day right there. I'm not going to. Number three, and I'm done. We need to get a mind to fear God. We need to get a mind to fear God. Look at verse 120. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. Brother Stoltz, come on up here for a second. Brother Stoltz has a granddaughter and a grandson. My mom, my wife babysits them. Sorry. When a baby starts walking, I was brought up a little different. We didn't take everything that was at eye level and put it up above eye to where they couldn't reach it. We were taken on a tour of the house, and if you touched it, you got your hand whacked, amen? And we did that with our kids. I remember one of my children taking them on the tour of the house, and they would walk over to touch something on the table, and I'd say, don't touch that. And I would, that's bad, don't touch. And they would cry, and I'd whack until, and by the way, one of them, I won't tell you which one, and it wasn't that one, but one of them, we had a long powwow. I must have whacked their hand 25, 30 times, and they'd keep reaching for it and whacking. I said, I've got one more than you got, all right? I finally wore them out. Do you know what that was? The next time they went over there and they started for it, I went, And they thought about it. They recognized fear, but it was out of love, not out of anger. Say why? Because if when they got big enough to reach at something that was too hot, that would hurt them, or they'd pull something over them, they needed to listen to, don't touch that. It was something as simple as, don't touch that. Though that may not hurt them, they needed to learn to listen to mom and dad so that out of love, the fear they had would keep them safe. Does that make sense to everybody? Thank you. Have a seat. Is your hand okay? All right. You're not crying yet. All right. Here we go. Now, we need to live like we fear God and that we're going to face him someday. Because can I tell you why? You are. Did you know you're going to face God someday? Now, praise God, we're not going to be judged for our sins if we're saved. And I'm glad. But I still have to face God for everything I did, whether it was in the right spirit, right attitude, or not. Now, listen to me. I don't want this life to complicate or set me back in the next life. I'm going to use a word. It's not a real accepted word, and it's not a critical word in society, but I'm going to use it. When I get to heaven, I don't want to be retarded, and I don't mean special needs. I mean the word retard means slowed, set back. In music, there's a term called retard. It means slow way down. Okay? It's not a bad word. I'm not calling somebody that. But when I get to heaven, I don't want to have to take 1,000 years to catch up. Amen. I want to leave earth and be able to hit heaven almost in stride. I want to be able to keep on going. I don't want to have to... When my daughter goes to college, she'll find out she'll have to take an English placement test. And if you don't pass the English placement test, they put you in what they call English 100, or those of us that went to college, bonehead English, non-credit English. That's for those that can't pass the English test. They have to pay for English to get them up to speed to where they can pass regular college English. And you don't get credit for it. Brother Ed took it 4 times. I mean, you know, it's just one of those classes. It was only twice, wasn't it? Now, wait a minute. I never had to take English 100. When I took English 101 my freshman year, partway through the year, my English teacher found out. She said, "Craig, you're flying through this." I said, "Mrs. Flesher, I had that book last year in high school. This is the same book I had last year. I already did all this." She said, "Could you help me?" I said, "I'd be glad to." She took the girls. I took the men. I had pastors in there, and I was teaching English for her because she didn't feel comfortable teaching adult men. I was teaching them the English lesson. I got English credit for teaching while I was taking the class. Amen? I enjoyed it. Now, I didn't have to take bonehead English. When I get to heaven, I don't want to take bonehead Christianity. I don't want non-credit Christianity. I want to get full credit, amen? I listened to what the college president said my first day of college, and he got up and said, "You don't have to go to class. You can over-absence every class you want." I thought, okay, I wasn't expecting that. You don't have to show up. You can fail every class. We're going to get your money either way. You're going to pay for it whether you pass it or not. I would suggest you study hard, show up, be at everything, and do what you're supposed to do so you don't have to pay for it twice. But either way, we'll take your money. Now, I'm just a simple boy from Ohio, but I had enough sense to know don't miss class, pass that thing. I'm going to work myself to death. Why do I want to not show up? Everybody doing all right? Why do we want to live this life like this is the only life to live when this life is just a drop in the bucket compared to eternity? I want to get ready for the real thing. Yes, sir. This is the staging area. This is the practice time. Performance is coming. I'm getting ready for it. Now, when we judge others, including our enemies, by good or bad, we're not looking at our own life. Why are we so concerned about everybody else's life? How is it that we know what everybody else should do, but we're having a hard enough time with our own life? Can I tell you something? I don't want my enemies to hurt. I have never prayed for God to kill or destroy one of my enemies. I know people that do. I look at them and say, "I'm not God. I'm not asking that." My Bible says pray for them. "Well, I'm praying God kills them." You're an idiot. For my enemies, I have said, "God, would you please somehow stop the evil, but would you protect the evildoer? Would you protect their family? God, I don't want any harm to them. I just want the evil to stop. Would you just stop it somehow, but be easy on them?" That's how I pray for my enemies, just so you know, to this day. You see... let me try to illustrate it, and I promise you I'm done. I love my dad. I fear my dad. Not in a "he's gonna beat me" way, usually. I don't. Now, my fear is out of love. You know, I don't want to hurt, I don't want to disappoint, and I don't want to bring shame to my dad's name. I really don't. And please don't crucify me for this statement. There are certain things I will not do, even though they're not wrong, because I know they might hurt my dad. And I have chosen at 48 years old not to do those things because I love and I fear him and I don't want to put anything between us. So I'll choose not to do that type of thing. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Say why? I love him and I fear him. I fear losing his respect. I fear bringing shame to his name. I fear doing something that would harm our relationship to the point where I won't do certain things just to keep that from happening. Does that make sense to everybody? Now, wait a minute. I want to honor him. I want to honor him with love, success, prosperity, not just to me, but to his name. See, isn't that what we're supposed to do for God as well? When it says fear God, it's not talking about God sitting up there with a big stick ready to whack you in the head if you get out of line. Oh, God, I'm afraid of you. And by the way, it's not a holy reverence either. It means you're trying to bring honor, glory, and success to his name. That's why when this old ugly body passes from life unto death to the new life, I'd love to hear God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Whew. Wow. Now, I can't tell you that my dad and I always agree. Matter of fact, there's a lot of times we don't. But you know what? As long as it's not something in reference contrary to that book right there, I'll let him have his way most of the time. Say why? Because I honor and respect him. You know, that's the way it is with God. Do you know I don't always agree with God? Do you know if I were God, there are certain people that would not be alive right now? There would be a lot of them. I might even be one of them. I don't know. Let's face it. If you were God, you would do things different. But you're not God. So why don't we love God, respect God, fear God enough to realize we're going to face him? I cannot wait for the day when Hillary bows the knee to God himself. I cannot wait for the day when ugly old bearded Nancy Pelosi bows her knee to God. Hang on. I can't wait for Barack Obama to bow the knee and call him Jehovah. I can't wait. But may I say this? I'm not going to be happy if they have to go to hell either. And God won't be happy either. But may I say this? Even though we kind of use that as humor, you're going to have to bow before him too. Yes, sir. You have to face him too. I have to face him too. Can I say I've done everything I should? Nope. I'm trying. I'm still falling way short. But I'm going to give it everything I got. You see, we need to think about the Bible, its truths, its principles, and its stories more than the world. We don't need a viral world. We don't need a cyber world. We don't need an e-world. We need a Bible world. Put the stupid computers up, put the stupid phones up, and start on the Word of God. The more of that you think about, the less and less important some of the other things become. Did you know if you took as much time in the Word of God as you take on Facebook or social media, your Christian life would be transformed? I don't see how people have time for that stuff. I don't need a cyber relationship with somebody I haven't seen in years and years and years. I've got two ladies that live in my house for the next 2 weeks, and then one of them's leaving me. But then I'll have my wife. Hey, I'd rather spend time with my wife and children than I would anything. I'm going to take 60 seconds. I'm so proud of one of my boys. My son, Jeff, this week, he texted his mom and he said, Mom, I've got a $50 gift card to a certain one of two restaurants. He said, when you bring Mindy to college, do you think I could have a date with you and take you to one of those restaurants, whichever one you want? I'll be honest with you, I was proud of that boy. I was very proud of him. Say why? He's thinking about his mama. He's loving his mama. The bum, he's going to pay something for me too. But no, I'm teasing. I am so thrilled that a 20-year-old young man thinks about his mama that way. I was so happy. You know, I hope someday I can take God to lunch. I hope someday, by the way, how many times a day I've gone to him and said, God, I can't give you a hug, but can we spend some time together? And it's almost like giving God a hug. It's almost like an appointment with God. That's what prayer is. It's what reading that book is. When I read my book, there's sometimes I can't separate prayer and Bible reading because I'm talking to him as he's talking to me the whole time. We're conversing. I'll say, you said what? Wait a minute. I mean, I'm talking out loud. If anybody comes by at those times, I'm not totally insane, I promise you. And he doesn't speak back in a voice, just so you know. He just keeps using that book right there. But I'll talk to him out loud. Say, why? Because someday I'll get to hear his voice back. Till then, he gave me his word. And that's what it's all about. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Do you love the Bible? How much of it are you thinking about? We think about our finances. We think about television shows. We think about our social networking. We think about vain things. But how much truth are we thinking about on a regular basis?